This is the voice of Türkiye. This is the voice of Türkiye.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is Friday, 19th of April, 2024. This is the Voice of Türkiye's English language transmission, broadcasting from Ankara in the 16-meter band between 12:30 and 13:30 UTC on 172.6 to 0 kHz to Europe. You can listen to us over the Turksat 3A and 4A satellites and on the internet at www.trtdinnet.com. through radios link and under the Vote Radios Expandable section. Our email address is englishdesk@trt.net.tr. Following the news and the review of the Turkish press, the Voice of Türkiye will present our feature programs, weekly analysis, Turkish folk tales, That's Why, followed by some Turkish music. Before we begin, let's have a quick look at the headlines. Nothing in the Iran-Israel conflict is surprising, Erdogan says. Greece won't back down from marine park plans, Greek prime minister notes. U.S. vetoes Palestine's bid for full UN membership. And U.S. officials confirm Israel carried out strike inside Iran. And now details of the news. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, touching on the Iran-Israel tensions, said, quote-unquote, so far there is no surprising statement from either side. President Erdogan answered journalists' questions in Istanbul after Friday prayers in a mosque. Regarding the Israel-Iran tensions, Erdogan said, quote-unquote, Israel and Iran are putting forward different views. There is no claim of responsibility for attacks on Iran from the Israeli side, and there is really no statement that is beyond belief about the matter. When you consider Iran's statements, you cannot say that they are true statements. You cannot also trust Israel to report the facts. The Israeli side is pushing the U.S. to make a statement about their own attacks in Iran. Erdogan also mentioned that the U.S. is already taking a pro-Israel stance. The Iranian media published reports of explosions in the northeast of Isfahan province, which hosts an Iranian Air Force base. Flights from the capital Tehran, Isfahan, Shiraz and some other regions of Iran were suspended following these reports. The American media had reported that Israel carried out an attack on Iranian territories. Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis said they will not back down from their plans of establishing marine parks in the Ionian and Aegean seas despite Turkey's strong reaction. Mitsotakis spoke to reporters after the European Union summit in Brussels. When asked about the issue and Turkey's reaction, the Greek premier said, quote-unquote, I'm also surprised by Turkey's excuseless response towards an initiative that takes into account environmental concerns. As promised at the Our Oceans Conference in Athens, Greece will build these marine parks. The recent rapprochement between the two nations has not changed Turkey's position on the sovereignty issues in the Aegean and Mediterranean seas, said Mitsotakis, adding that this constitutes a problem for his country. The Greek premier said, quote-unquote, still, this should not prevent us from investing more in a positive agenda instead on issues that drive us apart. Turkey has harshly reacted against the Greek foreign ministry's plans to build two marine parks one in the Aegean Sea and the other in the Ionian Sea. A statement by the Turkish Foreign Ministry on 9th of April said, quote unquote, "We recommend Greece not to involve the outstanding Aegean issues and the issues regarding the status of some islands, islets and rocks whose sovereignty has not been ceded to Greece by international treaties within the frame of its own agenda." The U.S. vetoed the U.N. Security Council draft resolution Thursday demanding Palestine's full membership in the United Nations. The 15-member council gathered in New York to vote on a draft resolution authored by Algeria recommending the admission of the State of Palestine for UN membership. The membership was blocked with 12 votes in favor and 2 abstentions, including the UK and Switzerland. Before the voting, Algeria's envoy to the UN, Omar Benjamah, said it is time for Palestine to take its rightful place among the community of nations, and seeking UN membership is a fundamental expression of Palestinian self-determination. Palestine was accepted as an observer state of the UN General Assembly in 2012, allowing its envoy to participate in debates and UN organizations, but without a vote. States are admitted to membership in the UN by a decision of the General Assembly upon the recommendation of the Security Council, according to the UN Charter. A council resolution needs at least 9 votes in favor and no vetoes by the permanent members, US, Britain, France, Russia or China, to pass. In a statement on 2nd of April, Palestine's permanent representative to the UN, Riyad Mansour, sent a letter to UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres and requested that their membership applications be considered. Guterres also wrote a letter to the UN Security Council on 3rd of April, calling for Palestine's request to be put on the agenda. The Security Council forwarded Palestine's request to the Committee for the Admission of New Members on 8th of April. The committee, which was supposed to return to the Council regarding membership, announced that it could not reach an agreement after 2 meetings. Algeria then opened the draft resolution for Palestine's membership to negotiations. The news continues on the English language broadcast of the Voice of Turkey. Israel has carried out a strike inside of Iran, multiple American media outlets reported Thursday, citing anonymous U.S. officials, in a move that threatens to further push the region towards war. None of the reports identified the targets, but the attack comes in response to Iran's unprecedented drone and missile attack on Israel over the weekend. Nearly all of Iran's missiles and drones were intercepted by Israel, the U.S. and its regional allies. Anonymous U.S. officials told CBS News and ABC News that Israel used ballistic missiles to hit Iran. Iran's official state TV confirmed massive explosions in central Isfahan province and said no nuclear facilities were affected or targeted in the central Iranian city. The semi-official Mehr News Agency reported that 3 drones were destroyed in the skies above Isfahan province. The Israeli military has not commented on the reported attack yet, but it said a security meeting is currently underway at Israel's defense ministry in Tel Aviv. A U.S. official who spoke to CNN said Washington did not greenlight Israel's attack. Quote, unquote, "We didn't endorse the response," an official said. The official acknowledged that Israel had informed the U.S. on Thursday that it would be carrying out a strike against Iran in the coming days. Delegations from the U.S. and Israel held a virtual meeting Thursday to discuss soaring tensions between Tel Aviv and Iran, as well as Israel's vowed military action on the southern Gaza city of Rafah. The bulk of the White House's readout of the call focused on Iran just hours after a spokesperson said the teams would largely discuss Rafah. Quote, unquote, "The main purpose really is to talk about Rafah and to continue to have a conversation with the Israelis about their intentions and to also share our continued concerns over a major ground offensive there," National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby told reporters aboard Air Force One in response to a question about whether the teams would discuss Israel's expected reprisal on Iran. The official White House readout of the meeting said it began, quote unquote, "in a small group format to discuss the Iran attack and the collective efforts to further enhance Israel's defense through advanced capabilities as well as cooperation with a broad coalition of military partners. Quote unquote. The two sides then broadened it to include interagency delegations to discuss Rafah. The two sides agreed on the shared objective to see Hamas defeated in Rafah, it said in a statement. An Israeli government spokesperson said earlier Thursday that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has set a date for beginning the invasion of Rafah. Kenya's Chief of General Staff Francis Ogola and 10 military personnel reportedly lost their lives in a helicopter crash in Kenya. The presidency of the state, in a statement, said Chief of Staff Ogola and 10 military personnel died in the accident, while two soldiers survived with injuries. At a press conference, President William Ruto stated that the helicopter crashed shortly after taking off and also expressed their condolences for the deceased. Noting that the accident occurred at 14:20 local time Thursday, Ruto said the Air Force sent an air investigation team to determine the cause. President Ruto declared 3 days of national mourning across the country. India, with a population of 1.441 billion, is reported to be the world's most populous country. The United Nations Populations Fund published its State of the World Population Report 2024 under the title Interwoven Lives, Threads of Hope, Ending Inequalities in Sexual and Reproductive Health and Rights. This year's report highlighted the growing inequalities in sexual and reproductive health around the world. Accordingly, women in Africa are 130 times more likely to die from complications related to pregnancy and childbirth than women in Europe or North America, while women of African descent in the Americas are more likely to die in childbirth. The report stated that the world population has reached 8.1 billion, while India's population is 1.4 billion. It also noted that the improvement in the socioeconomic situation and the decrease in maternal mortality played a role in India's overtaking China, which has a population of 1,425 million. The UN's data also showed that China's population started to decline after reaching 1,426 million in 2022. Experts predict that China's population will fall below 1 billion by the end of this century. And that was the news brought to you by the Voice of Turkey. Now the Voice of Turkey presents review of the Turkish press. Sabah reports that President Recep Tayyip Erdogan criticized Western countries' silence on the issue of Gaza, given that they acted swiftly against Iran, who attacked Israeli targets recently. Erdogan said, quote unquote, "We have seen that Western countries could actually express a unified stance against Iran, and now the same countries should unite against Israel and say enough." Star says that Turkish Parliament Speaker Numan Kurtulmuş called on all scientists who are experiencing pressure from Zionist circles, saying, "Turkey's doors are open to all scientists." Yeni Şafak reports that Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis's plan to set up marine parks in the Ionian and the Aegean Seas was met with harsh reaction from Turkey. Turkish Foreign Ministry said in a statement, quote unquote, "We recommend Greece not to involve the outstanding Aegean issues and the issues regarding the status of some islands, islets and rocks whose sovereignty has not been ceded to Greece by the international treaties within the framework of their own agenda." Habertürk says that the UK-based aviation rating agency Skytrax made a list of the best airports in the world. Turkey's Istanbul Airport was ranked 10th in the list, which is compiled using passenger surveys. Hürriyet reports that the largest technology fair in the Eurasian geography, Mobile Fest, will be held in Istanbul through 25th and 27th of April. The fourth edition of Mobile Fest Communication Technologies Fair and Conference will play host to over 300 brands and 20,000 visitors. And that was the review of the Turkish press brought to you by the Voice of Türkiye. Weekly analysis. Iran's recent attack on Israel has once again brought the region and the world to the center of tension. However, evaluating this conflict solely within a military framework would be insufficient. The tension between Iran and Israel is part of a deep and complex structure that shapes global power dynamics, regional instability, and international diplomacy. The Voice of Türkiye Radio presents an evaluation on the subject by SETA Security Research Director and author Professor Murat Yeşiltaş. The attack on the Iranian consulate by Israel and the subsequent retaliations are not just part of a direct conflict between two states, but rather a part of a broader stage involving major powers. The support provided by the U.S. to Israel, the tense relationship between Iran and Israel, and the regional policies of Russia and China reveal the multifaceted nature of this conflict. Especially Iran's military tactics and strategies against Israel aim to strengthen its position in the regional power balance. The coordinated and calculated nature of the attacks highlights Iran's significance not only as a military power, but also as a strategic actor. The retaliatory Operation True Promise conducted by Iran is considered a major challenge to Israel's air defense systems. While Israel's defense systems, like Iron Dome, have provided relatively successful defense against missile and drone attacks by Iran, this does not necessarily mean that Israel will always maintain superiority. The low cost of the attack and the high economic cost of its defense have made the sustainability of war a vital issue for Israel. Therefore, Iran's attack capacity continues to pose a constant threat to Israel and its allies. Moreover, the statement made by the commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Hussein Salami, suggests a change in the traditional pattern of military conflict between Israel and Iran. Salami emphasized that with the retaliatory operation against Israel conducted by Iran, a new equation has been formed. According to this balance, any attacks by Israel on Iran's interests, assets, personnel, and citizens will be directly countered from Iranian territory. Israel's response indicates that it cannot act alone on the international stage. The presence and support of the U.S. in the region play a decisive role in Israel's decision-making processes. This situation not only shapes Israel's regional security policies, but also reveals its dependency on international diplomacy. This conflict has also triggered various political dynamics within Israel. The security policies of the Netanyahu government have faced criticism both domestically and internationally. The Israeli public is divided on how the government has managed this crisis, while some believe that a tougher response to Iran is necessary. Others warn of the risks of a possible large-scale war. For Iran, this conflict should be seen not only as a show of force, but also as a strategic calculation. Iran has sent messages not only to Israel, but also to its regional and global rivals through these attacks. It becomes clear that Iran aims to protect its national security interests and strengthen regional deterrence. The attacks by Iran, especially those targeting Israel's military and civilian infrastructure, can be considered as indicators of Iran's military capacity and determination. With these actions, Iran seeks to increase its deterrent effect on regional and global actors and strengthen its position in domestic politics, as the government seeks both domestic and regional support under the rhetoric of preserving national honor and independence. In addition, this conflict between Iran and Israel also affects Israel's relations with the Arab world. As Israel responds to Iran's attacks, it feels the need to maintain its alliances with Arab countries. This has become a critical balancing factor for Israel in terms of its long-term strategic goals and alliances in the region. Another important aspect of this conflict is Iran's domestic politics and public opinion. The Iranian government uses foreign policy and military actions to strengthen the perception of national honor and security. This not only consolidates its position in domestic politics, but also sends messages of deterrence and sovereignty internationally. In conclusion, the Iran-Israel conflict signifies much more than surface-level military movements. It will continue to remain a dynamic and multifaceted conflict that deeply affects relations between regional and global powers, diplomacy and security policies. The international community, acknowledging the significant impact of such conflicts on both regional and global peace and security, should take more responsibility and develop solution-oriented approaches. This ongoing conflict between Iran and Israel brings together other regional actors and major powers around common and divided interests, potentially shaping the course of the conflict and its international ramifications in a decisive manner. The Voice of Turkey Radio has presented an assessment on the subject by SETA Security Research Director and author Professor Murat Yeşiltaş. Weekly Analysis.
ne yerim var, ne yurdum. Gurbet ele düştü yolum, yuvasız kuşlar misali. Selli boylum senin için, katlanırım bu yazıya. Böyle yazmışsa yaradan, kara toprak yeter bana. Unutma ki dünya fani, veren Allah alır canı. Ben nasıl unuturum seni, can bedenden çıkmayınca. Unutma ki dünya fani, veren Allah alır canı. Ben nasıl unuturum seni, can bedenden çıkmayınca. Unutma ki dünya fani, veren Allah alır canı. Ben nasıl unuturum seni, can bedenden çıkmayınca. Unutma ki dünya fani, veren Allah alır canı. Ben nasıl
all around the world, every hour of the day, TRT Voice of Türkiye is with you.
seni anlatan o şarkıyı. Turkish Folk Tales.
And once again, welcome to another edition of Turkish Folk Tales, brought to you weekly by the Voice of Turkey Radio. Fairy tales enable the transfer of cultures between generations, keep the cultural codes of the society and common values of humanity alive, give people the opportunity to have fun, provide psychological relief by distracting people from their troubles and steer them towards ideal behaviors, confirming to thousands of year-old history of society. Today we will tell you the beautiful tale of Keloğlan, also known as the Bold Boy and the Golden Nightingale. Keloğlan is a well-known fictional character in Turkish culture, and he is bald from birth. So turn the volume of your radio up and immerse yourself in this colorful world. Once upon a time, there lived a sultan. The sultan had a glass mosque built. One Friday, he saw an old man with a white beard after the prayer. The old man said, "My liege, if you bring the golden nightingale behind the mystic mountain and place it next to the mosque, your work will be completed," and vanished into thin air. The sultan became sadder and sadder with each passing day. One day, he told his children, "I am thinking about how to bring the golden nightingale from behind the mystic mountain." All his children pledged to bring the golden nightingale. They got on their horses and hit the road. After some time, they arrived at a spring. They ate and drank and set out again. As they were going, three roads appeared in front of them. The older boy cried out, "I'll take the first one." The middle one said, "I'll take the second one." The muddy road was left to the little boy. Then they all rode in different directions. The elder and middle boys' paths crossed in the city, and when they ran out of money, one of them apprenticed at an inn and the other at an eating house. As for the little boy, the little boy went on his way despite encountering many difficulties. His face and hands were covered in blood as he passed through bushes. He finally arrived at a spring where he saw a white-bearded old man. They greeted each other. After drinking his water, he explained where he was going and why. The old man wanted to divert the boy from his path. "I've promised my father I cannot go back at any cost," the little boy said. The old man patted the boy's back three times, and the boy suddenly found himself in a desert. He became exhausted from hunger and thirst. He finally arrived at the palace where a giant with seven lives lived. He killed the giant and met a fairy who lived in the palace. Then he went on his way and reached a palace where a giant with eight lives lived. He killed the giant and met a fairy who lived in the palace. The fairy asked him where he headed. "To get the golden nightingale," he replied. The fairy told him the way to the golden nightingale and explained him how to protect himself from the giant with nine lives. The boy set out once again and defeated the giant with nine lives, but he was confused about which room to enter in the giant's palace because the palace had 99 rooms. While the boy was wandering around the giant's palace, he suddenly saw a cat that gestured him where to find the golden nightingale. He then took the golden nightingale and hit the road. The sultan's youngest son first went to the old man whom he had met by the spring. He left the golden nightingale with him and set out to look for his brothers. He found his brothers in a city and bought each of them a horse. They rode to the spring and took the golden nightingale from the old man. On their way back home, the two brothers threw their youngest brother into a well as they were jealous of him. But the golden nightingale did not even sing once in their palace. In the meantime, their little brother did not die. He managed to come out of the well and came across a shepherd. He bought a sheep by giving the shepherd a gold coin. Then he became a bold boy by putting the sheep's tripe on his head. He arrived at a town and apprenticed to an innkeeper. One day, the innkeeper fell so ill that no physician in the town could find a cure to his illness. A white-bearded old man said, "If you bring some water from the Sultan's mosque, your master will get well." The little boy ran to that mosque. At that moment, the golden nightingale started to sing. The good news was immediately given to the Sultan, who immediately went to the mosque, but the golden nightingale stopped singing. When Keloğlan came to the mosque, the golden nightingale started singing once again. Then Keloğlan took the tripe on his head off and told him that he was the Sultan's youngest son. The Sultan realized that his youngest son was the one to find the golden nightingale, and his two elder sons were banished from the palace. Join us next week in another edition of Turkish Folk Tales, brought to you weekly by the Voice of Turkey Radio. Until then, goodbye.
Turkish Folk Tales.
ne evim var ne ocağım. Dünyada tutunacağım dal tükendi, ben tükendim.
Voice of Türkiye, always by your side.
Why? Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of our program, That's Why, where we will delve into why an hour consists of 60 minutes. Have you ever pondered why it's 60 and not 100 or 20 minutes in an hour? Similarly, why is a day comprised of 24 hours? The rotation of our planet around its axis constitutes a day, while its orbit around the Sun, as you know, marks a year. Although these units remain constant within our galaxy, they vary for each planet. For instance, Jupiter completes its orbit around the Sun in approximately 4,333 Earth days. The concepts of day and year are indeed cosmological phenomena independent of human consciousness. But what about months, weeks, and hours? These units of time are inventions of human civilization. With the advent of agriculture, humankind transitioned to a settled life, making it easier to fulfill basic needs such as food, drink, and shelter. In ancient times, people living in Mesopotamia and Egypt laid the foundation of today's mathematics, driven by both daily necessities and sheer curiosity. Approximately 2,300 years ago, in ancient Greece, a significant milestone in time measurement was achieved with the estimation of Earth's circumference. At that time, the widely used sexagesimal counting system developed by the Babylonian civilization led to the division of this estimated result into 60 parts, thus forming what we understand today as circles of latitude, with the calculation of a circle's interior angles as 360 degrees, a year was assigned 360 days, an hour 60 minutes, and a minute 60 seconds. The number 60, divisible without remainders by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, 15, 20, and 30, facilitated calculations immensely. While the metric system and decimal-based measurements dominate modern practices, the division of hours into 60 minutes and minutes into 60 seconds remains a cherished tradition rooted in history. This practice may seem antiquated in the age of digital precision, yet it serves as a poignant reminder of our collective past. From the early civilizations to the present day, humanity's quest to measure and comprehend time has stimulated countless innovations in calendar and clock systems. In the episodes to come, we look forward to exploring the rich tapestry of timekeeping methods developed throughout human history. From sundials to atomic clocks, each advancement reflects our relentless pursuit of precision and accuracy in capturing the passage of time. As we near the conclusion of today's program, let us remember the words of wisdom. An hour consists of 60 minutes because it was the preference of the early scholars contemplating on the division of a day. With this in mind, we are eager to continue our journey through the annals of time in the episodes ahead. Until next week, goodbye.
That's why. We'll be right back.
Before we end our broadcast in English, let's have a quick look at the headlines. Nothing in the Iran-Israel conflict is surprising, says President Erdogan. Greece won't back down from Marine Park plans, Greek Prime Minister says. U.S. vetoes Palestine's bid for full UN membership, and U.S. officials confirm Israel carried out strike inside Iran. You have been listening to the Voice of Turkey's English language transmission, broadcasting from Ankara in the 16 meter band between 12:30 and 13:30 UTC on 17620 kHz to Europe. You can listen to us over the Turksat 3A and 4A satellites and on the internet at www.trtdnet.com through radios link and under the Vote Radios Expandable section. Our email address is englishdesk@trt.net.tr. Thank you for listening to the Voice of Turkey and goodbye.
Radio La Voce della Turchia. 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 Radio La Voce della Turchia.